How's that? All right, well, what I wanted to say at the beginning of this was thank you all for coming. Again, usually when we have a guest preacher, if our main preacher's not here, people go, yeah, it's a good morning to sleep in. We don't know what Sean might say. Let's just go ahead and we'll just listen to the recording. Before we get started, though, there's a couple important things I think I need to lay out, some truths that we should all be able to agree upon, and it's necessary for us to agree upon these before we get started with the sermon. First, God is the creator of everything. God created mankind in his image. Sin entered the world through the trickery of the devil and the free will of Adam and Eve. Jesus is the Son of God and died for the forgiveness of sin. And the Bible is the holy scripture given by God for mankind and is without error. And finally, the devil exists. He is the great deceiver, and he wants God's plans to fail. He wants your soul. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, we are told, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up upon their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give to you,' he said, 'if you bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' The devil left him, and angels came and attended him." As you know, we live in a fallen world, a world full of violence, hate, greed, and selfishness, a world that Jesus does not want his followers to be a part of. He warns us not to love the world, not to seek the pleasures of the flesh, or to seek possessions. He tells us not to seek these things because we cannot serve two masters. And God wants us to serve him completely. And he means completely. God gives us the tools needed to fight the evil that exists in the world. Now, if you'll open your Bibles up to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, this should be some scripture that's very familiar to most of you. Verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Stand firm then." "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." A review of the nightly news is mortifying. We are surrounded by runaway drug addiction, violence, and thievery. We have leaders who are corrupted by sin, leaders who are liars, adulterers, cheats, and are completely self-serving. regardless of the party they align with. And that's just in this country, the most free country in the history of mankind, a country founded on Christian principles and morals. If you look at what's happening across the globe, you will find violence, war, famine, slavery, and persecution of believers in a magnitude that's hard to get your head around. The devil is waging a war against God, and humans are the pawns in this battle. The devil is the great deceiver, and he is winning souls. For the last 2,000 years, the Christian church has led the fight against the devil. Through believers' love, openness, reliance on Scripture, self-sacrifice and charity, the congregation of believers has grown throughout the world. The congregation of believers, or the church, started schools, hospitals, clothed and fed the needy, went to the front lines of battle to attend to the injured, and ended slavery in the West. The church has stood strongly against sin and kept it at bay at every opportunity it could. But we are losing our foothold. We have allowed sin and corruption to take hold in society, to corrupt our thinking and decide our direction. The devil has actively been trying to undo the work of the cross for 2,000 years, and Christians have been the moral guidepost that kept society together. We didn't always get it right. Christian men and women have not won every battle, but we stayed true to the teaching of Jesus and pushed back. Now we find ourselves in a time where Christian morals and beliefs are no longer the popular philosophy. A time where praying before a football game is restricted, where the Ten Commandments are removed from courthouses, but wearing a sex organ on your head during a protest march is celebrated. And the women's bathroom may have men in it. The devil is gaining ground. We have allowed sin to enter the congregation of believers. We've allowed sin and corruption to enter the church. We have given the wolves a platform. Paul knew this would happen, even in the early church. He warns the Ephesians in Acts 20, 28 through 32, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul warned them, and he warned us. You don't have to look very far to find so-called Christians using the Bible to line their pockets by using words that tickle the ears and soften the gospel. "You can have your best life now if you just send in some seed money. God will reward you tenfold." This is a typical message that allows so-called preachers to fund their mansions and unfortunate followers to be lost in a false gospel. So that you don't think the prosperity gospel is the only wolf, we also have churches that allow sin to openly exist and biblically define sins to be reinterpreted and reinvented. We have churches that are more concerned with membership numbers and offerings than with creating disciples that can spread the faith. We even live in a time when the largest Christian denomination has had its closets opened and the abuses committed by priests shown in full light. We Christians dabble in sin. We dress like the world. We talk like the world. Our divorce rate is the same. We are just as addicted to pornography. We watch the same movies. We listen to the same music. It's difficult to tell a Christian from a non-believer. We have allowed sin and the devil to take a foothold in our own lives. In the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, God has had enough of the sin committed by its citizens and plans to destroy them. Prior to their destruction, the angels of the Lord warn Lot and his family to flee. Don't look back and don't stop. Lot's wife looks back and is destroyed also. She didn't look back because she wanted to see the destruction, but rather because it was where she was comfortable and secure in her life. She didn't want to live in a lonely wilderness. She wanted to stay in her sin. That's what it's like for Christians who fail to run and flee from sin. We keep looking back with one foot in the world and our heart longing for Christ, looking for acceptance from both. Now, it's easy to blame men and even ourselves for the evil we see. Cast judgment on them. Throw them in jail and throw them away the key. But they are lost souls, lost to the tricks of the evil one. Souls that need to hear about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. All the evils in the church and in society are the devil's handiwork, and he knows what he's doing. He is our real enemy, but he has a great weakness, the truth. If we choose to follow Jesus, we must choose to enter this fight with no regard to the personal cost, and it will cost. But fear not. We are given the tools for this fight. We are given the full armor of God in this war, in this rebellion. We can stand firm knowing that Jesus is with us and knowing that the end is written and God wins. We have the belt of truth to discern all falsehoods given to us by the devil. We have the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our hearts, the weakest link in our battle against an enemy that knows what secret desires we have. Our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, which allows us to encounter the lost so that we can show them an alternative to the pain of life. We have a shield of faith, which allows us to catch and put out the insults and self-doubts launched at us by the devil. Verse 17 of the scripture reads, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Salvation is granted to us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we repent and turn away from our sin and commit to following Jesus with all we have. It allows us to navigate this world knowing we are forgiven and that Christ's sacrifice on the cross paid for our sins. At this point in Paul's description of the armor, we have all the protection we need to boldly enter the fight. Next, we are given a sword, but not a sword made of metal and wood, but the sword of the Spirit, the gift of Holy Scripture and a guide to help us use it. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a product of repentance and salvation. The Holy Spirit allows us to understand the Word of God in ways that can be indescribable. We are given the Bible as a weapon, and the Holy Spirit allows us to use it. The Word has the ability to pierce the heart and lay bare the motives and feelings of those who hear it. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon we are given. Not cannons, not arrows, but a short, double-edged sword. For Paul to use a sword as a metaphor to the early church makes sense. It was a weapon that the early Christians would have been very familiar with. Many would have carried them to protect themselves from thieves and bandits. This is a Roman-era replica of a gladius. It's double-edged, it comes to a sharp point, it was made to be swung with one arm so that you could use your shield to protect yourself while fighting. The sharp point allowed the user to penetrate the armor of the day. It's also a very intimate weapon. It's short. When you fought somebody with a gladius, you looked into their eyes. You could hear their words. You could smell their sweat. It was close combat. Paul could have used a different weapon to describe the Word of God, a bow and arrow, a lance, or even a mace. He used a sword because to combat evil and sin, we must get close. Long-distance shots won't work with this enemy. No one would be saved by creating a social media meme or putting up a billboard or wearing a t-shirt. We must be willing to create and maintain relationships with the lost and suffering and be willing to engage the devil when trials come our way. A sword in an untrained hand could cause you to injure yourself, or the sword could be taken from you and used against you. When soldiers aren't fighting, they are training to fight. Soldiers train on how to win with almost no time given towards retreat. They're always training to move forward, training to take over new territories, training on how to use the tools that are given to them. They spend days or weeks training for a battle that may be over in minutes. They also plan before the attack and ensure they have the resources needed to defeat the enemy. We as Christians must do the same thing. Train to spread the gospel. Train to understand and use the gospel as God commands. And always looking to move forward. To take on new territories. And to hold on to the territories we have. We should spend very little time training for retreat. Looking for safe places. Or expecting the kindness of our enemy to save us from battle. The devil will give you no quarter. He will give you no peace treaty. He wants to win your soul. We cannot turn away from the devil and retreat. The armor that Paul gave us only protects our front side. There is no backplate on this armor. We are designed as Christians to boldly step forward into battle. Now you're armored up with a weapon in hand. What do? Where do you go? Well, where's your passion? Orphans, the unborn, the hungry, the persecuted, the enslaved, the drug addicted, the shut-ins and lonely, the suffering, the hurting, the abused, the cheated. Where are you being called? The devil has a foothold in so many places. Where is God calling you to serve and to battle? What does our fight look like, and how do we wield the sword? How do we apply Paul's encouragement to the Ephesians to our own 21st century walk with Christ? Well, first, we must identify the enemy, who it is and who it isn't. Paul tells us that our struggle is against the rulers, the authorities, and the evil in this world, and the devil. The devil doesn't need to attack you directly. He will use laws and policies to soften your resolve. He will use the full power of governments, media, and entertainment to implement changes that you know are against God's holy word and punish you if you raise an objection. You will be sued for not making the right cake. You will be restricted from praying. You will be forced to pay money to subsidize the termination of a yet born child. The devil has his finger in all of these things. Remember always, the struggle isn't against people. It's easy to make them our enemy. After all, the devil's schemes are delivered by people. These are people who are lost and don't yet know Jesus. We must witness and pray for the lost. Second, we must train for the fight. The gladius I've brought is a replica. It's a fake. It looks impressive, but it costs $35 on Amazon. It's shiny and looks ready to do battle, but holding it together is some cheap bolts and nuts. The edges are dull, and it would fall apart the first time I took a real swing with it. It's a lot like a pretty Bible sitting on the nightstand that never gets opened. It's like cherry-picking a verse from the Bible without regard for the context of the Scripture. We must train with the real weapon so we can fight with the real weapon. Training with the Bible takes time, effort, and commitment. After Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, he spent 3 years studying and preparing in Tarsus before setting out as a missionary. The Bible must be read and heard to be understood. And if we don't understand it, we will be led astray. Commit to reading Scripture daily. That one's tough, isn't it? Commit to reading Scripture daily. Learn Jesus' parables. Use them to talk to those who are lost or hurt. You don't have to get all the words right. You just got to get the story out. Store Proverbs in your memory to strengthen you when you are weak or confronted with sin. Spend time with mentors and those who've overcome trials and sin. We are given the greatest book ever written. It tells us all we need to know about God's plan, Jesus' teaching, and our role in the world. Wisdom comes to those who seek it. The Bible, this is your sword. Pick it up. Become familiar with it. Use it. Third, we must enter the fight. The church provides amazing examples of Christians entering the fight. Disciples gave up everything to spread the gospel and then boldly walked to the gallows while praising the Lord, singing hymns, while being set ablaze for their faith. If the gospel is true, then we have nothing to fear from this world. If the gospel is true, then we have nothing to fear from this world. No pain, no insults, no suffering or loss compares to an eternity in the presence of the Lord. Entering into this fight requires us to do the right thing regardless of the cost. What does entering the fight look like for us? Well, it looks like loving those who are unloved. Speaking the truth, even in the face of consequences. Changing laws. Taking a stand against bullies. Taking a stand for justice. Running for office. Spending time with the lost. Preaching the gospel to those who haven't heard it. Taking care of those who are hungry. Asking God to place us where He can use us. Mentoring others and creating disciples. Using the Bible to strengthen us when we are weak. A friend of mine confided to me that when she is feeling down or full of doubt, she goes to the Gospel of Matthew and it lifts her up. For me, the Bible is my source of morality. When I'm confronted by things that used to bring me relief from the world, or sin that used to comfort me, I search the Bible for Scripture that strengthens my resolve. When I feel prideful or envious of others' financial success or stature in the community, I go to Ecclesiastes and remind myself that struggling for earthly gains is meaningless and a chasing after the wind. At the beginning of the sermon, I read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It describes Jesus' temptation by the devil. Jesus uses God's holy scripture to counteract the devil's temptations. He pulls verses from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 8. The devil knows the Bible too. He uses verses from Psalm 91 to taunt Jesus. Jesus starts his ministry with a battle against the great deceiver using tools that are available to us. No tricks, no flaming arrows, no sword-wielding angels, just the Word of God. The devil cannot overcome a weapon that sharp. Jesus shared this story with the apostles not to brag about his power, but to give them and us an example of how to use the Holy Scripture, how to use the Word of God to defeat the enemy. Young adults, you're being told by society to rebel against your parents and the patriarchal structure created by them. The adults don't get it, that drugs and alcohol and sex are the real rebellion, that you can gain your worth through Instagram followers. It's a lie. And I hate to tell you, but you don't know as much as you think you do. Look around this church. There are many adults here who follow the exact same path of so-called rebellion that some of you are on. And they can attest to the cost. painful failure, broken relationships, chronic physical ailments, and separation from God. Young adults, I ask you to join the true rebellion, a rebellion against the devil. Reject the sin around you and enter the fight. God has given you a weapon. Use it. I believe a great revival is coming into the church. Many young people across the globe are rejecting the path being laid out for them by the powers that be. They are rejecting social media, and instead they are physically connecting with friends. They are drinking less than any previous generation. They are upsetting the corporate culture that drives greed and waste, and they want their lives to mean something. God will use this to bring a revival, and Christians need to lead this movement. The great revivals in history happened because followers of Christ saw a different path for the church and society, and they told God, "Here am I, send me." And it's not just your fight. One of the wisest pieces of advice I ever received was to find the smartest person in the room and gather as much information from them as I could. That way, I didn't need to repeat their mistakes to find out what works. Look to your right. All the folks you see with gray hair and wrinkles, they're warriors. They're veterans of the fight. Their gray hair is their crown of wisdom, and their wrinkles are their battle scars. They have had victories and defeats, and they can share those with you. If you listen, they can save you from some of the mistakes they made. Elder Christians, you are called to train and mentor the younger Christians. You have served the Lord and stayed the course. Share that with those about to enter the battlefield. You have faithfully served the Lord, but He's not done with you. There's more to do. You must pray, you must teach, and you must serve. We must all stay in the fight until Jesus calls us home. Pray that God will use you in this fight to train others. In James 2:26, we are told, just as a body without the Spirit is dead, faith without deeds is dead. We must serve others to follow Christ. And to the Middle Agers, I didn't know how else to describe you. You aren't out of this fight yet either. Beyond your mortgage payments, job demands, and soccer games, is a passion to serve. You must be a pillar of strength and a source of encouragement, not just for your families and the children you are raising, but for those lost souls you encounter every day. They are watching you, waiting to see a failure, waiting to see if you really mean what you say. Your testimony and struggles are exactly what lost souls need to hear. Boldly speak it. Pray that God will renew the passions of your youth to fight the evil that exists in this world. We are all part of this battle, and it will have eternal consequences. We are protected and armed. We need to be bold in Christ, grab our sword, and enter the fight. During this time of invitation, if you feel pulled to enter the fight, if you feel God is talking to you and asking you to grab your sword, and you need some prayer, we'll have folks in the back and we'll have some folks here at the cross. But during this time of invitation, think about where God wants you, what He needs from you. Please pray with me. Lord, here am I. Use me. Serving you has been the greatest challenge I have ever had, Lord. And I am so thankful for what you've shown me and shown followers of you. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to fight the devil. We want lost souls to find their way to heaven. Lord, use us. Allow us to be the soldiers in your army, in your rebellion. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.